There's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord. There's a word from the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And it reads as thus. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent his message to Elijah. May the God strike me, even kill me, if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. For this preaching moment, I want to speak from the subject, keep your head in the game. Keep your head in the game. Keep your head in the game is an expression that we're familiar with. It means that you're the focus on the matter at hand. It's an expression that comes from the sports world. If there's a particular game that you're playing, that you must be focused on the game. You must concentrate on the game. You must focus on the matter at hand and not be distracted. Because one bad play does not make a game. But if we allow one bad play to get stuck in our head, it can cost us the game. It can be the matter of winning or losing at a particular thing. I remember, y'all, when I was a teenager, 12 or 13 years old, and told the story before that we used to play football in the field up from the elementary school. That's what we did. We did everything outside. But one day, one Saturday morning, we were playing football, and one of the kids in the neighborhood, his name is Steve Smith. Steve Smith was playing that day. Steve Smith, I think he was pumping iron in his mama's womb. He was a walking muscle, y'all. Now, Steve was about 16. He's about 3 or 4 years older than I was. But that day, listen, I was matched up against Steve Smith. That here I am, I'm trying to play on the defense, he's on the offense, and they pass a play to him, he grabs the ball, he gets to running. And so I'm gonna try to take him down, y'all. Every 78 pounds, I'm gonna take him down, y'all. Steve hit me so hard. Now I'm from Tennessee, but I thought I was in Mississippi at the time, but stayed over. I mean, he knocked me flat on my back. Y'all know those cartoons where you see the little swirly birds or stars flying around you. I promise y'all, I could see like glitter. I was out. I was down. Got back up. Supposedly got in the game. Got back in the game. But the rest of the game, all I wanted to know, where was Steve Smith? That every time the ball snapped, I'm looking, where's Steve? That I'm distracted from the game, y'all. My head is no longer in the game. I got hit so hard. I got knocked down so hard. My head was no longer in the game. Life is like that. In case y'all didn't know, I'm not just talking about football. That's a question I want to ask you today as it relates to life and your relationship with the Lord. To know that he had a divine purpose and a calling for your life. But is your head really in the game? Or has something distracted you? Is there something in your life that's just too fearful to deal with? Has something occurred in your life that's taken your head out of the game? That I'm here right now, y'all, this morning. I'm sitting in the seat and I'm looking good. But is your head in the game? Are you really focused on God and the things of God? Sometimes we get hit so hard, y'all, that we can lose focus, that we get distracted, that sometimes we're afraid, that you don't know what's coming from around the corner, the doctor's report that's not so good. Does it help you to hold on to your faith or to give up and say, I'm no longer in the game. I quit. Maybe it's rejection. Let me talk to some married folk in the house today. Is your head still in the game? Is your body here, but your mind is on the other side of town? Are you still in the game this morning? Are you still committed to your marriage relationship? Well, now, are you out of the game? As it relates to your career that you've been working for a long time, are you still in the game? Is your head still in the, it is still in the game? I thank God for a thing called retirement, because after a while, when your head's not in the game anymore, listen, you can throw in the towel, you can give up. Come on, Brother Dwight, it's sometime you're going to give it up. But as long as you're on the job, you have to keep your head in the game. Because here's one thing I've discovered. When your head is no longer in the game, eventually your heart will no longer be in it either. So in our text for today, y'all, let me get through our text so we can get to our baptism. So this evil king by the name of Ahab, perhaps one of the most evil kings in Israel, and his wife Jezebel, and she was just as wicked, if not more wicked, than Ahab. That she was an idol worshiping woman. Now, ladies, let me say this to you. So you know how wicked she was. And so she was idolatrous. She worshiped idols. She was into sexual immorality. She was treacherous. That she was all of that stuff. So if somebody by chance calls you a Jezebel, them cutting words. Jezebel was something else. But Jezebel and her husband had something in common. They hated Elijah. Elijah the prophet, that a courageous prophet of God, a mighty miracle-working prophet of God, had no problems telling them the truth, had no problems saying, what thus saith the Lord. We need some Elijahs that will stand today to tell people what thus saith the Lord, to stand in power, to stand in truth, and to stand in courage. And so he would speak truth to them. One moment, go back to the previous chapter. You see where he killed 450 of their false prophets. Jezebel was so mad with him that she swore that she was going to kill him dead. And so what does Elijah do? I'm talking about this mighty miracle-working prophet of God. The one that could speak and it would stop raining in the sky. That he would shut up heaven, that he raised the dead, that he parted the Jordan River. This Elijah, what did he do? He got up, he got scared, and he ran. He went into the wilderness, dropped his servant off first. It was nice meeting you. Look, I'm gone. I'm booking a bar. I'll see you later. And goes into the wilderness, isolated. And says to God, God, you can take my life. Go on and kill me now. Because my head is no longer in the game. I'm out of the game. Listen, mighty men and women of God, know sometimes that we can have our pity parties too. That there are times in our lives when we feel like perhaps God has abandoned us or left us or there's something that we're afraid of. But know something, that all they are distractions. Yeah. To keep you from the divine plan and purpose that God has for your life. What's distracting you right now? Don't let it distract you. Keep your head in the game. Keep your mind on Jesus. But Elijah's head was no longer in the game. He no longer wanted to hold his position. That he wanted to throw in the towel and go home. That he was hit so hard by the words of Jezebel that he was shook, y'all. Where's your head right now? Is there anything that's shaking you so much that, yeah, you're looking good, you're right here, but is your head in the game? Are you still focused on God? Are you still really concentrating on him and the things that he desires for your life? Or are you just faking the funk? Keep your head in the game. Perhaps you're in a situation where you've been hurt. You've been hit real hard. Perhaps you feel unfulfilled. Perhaps you feel abandoned or rejected. Maybe you feel like you're let down, but God won't let you down, that God is on your side. Keep your head in the game, because when your head is no longer in the game, your heart eventually will no longer be in the game. Don't allow fear to distract you from your God-given purpose. Let me say that again. Don't allow fear to distract you from your God-given purpose. Stay focused. It's game day, y'all. Yeah. And every day that God allows us to wake up, it's game day. Game is on. There's a very real opponent, an enemy that's out there trying to stop us. It's game day today. Don't let the enemy stop you. Keep your head in the game, because the enemy wants you to be afraid. He wants to defeat you. Yes. So how can this historical record of an event that happened in the life of Elijah help us in our daily walk? That we're not distracted from the things around us, that we don't allow fear to captivate us and capture us and defeat us and hold us down from the divine purpose and the will of God for our lives. Yeah. I think the first thing that we can get from the text, y'all, was this. Don't let your head hold you hostage. And so Elijah receives this message that he's on the most wanted list of Jezebel. Now again, you would have thought his response would have been different. This is the mighty man of God. This is Elijah. Y'all, if I could speak right now and the temperature would move from 100 to 80 degrees, you know, that y'all would have to help me forget the big head now. I know it's God working through me. But come on now, this is a mighty man of God, that he has favor with God. You thought he would just say to Jezebel, girl, what you talking about? Come on, hit me with your best shot. Come on, bring it on. You don't want none of this now. You don't know the God I serve. When I read the story, that's what I think Elijah should be saying. But listen, I love to play armchair Christian. You know, armchair Christians, when we read the biblical text, you know, well, what he should have done was this. She knows she was wrong. She should have. Listen, like if they would have inserted us into the story, we probably would have been just like them. So not too much of that armchair Christian stuff. All right. And so again, don't let your head hold you hostage. Listen, Elijah's head. Listen, here's a broken and hopeless prophet. That he's out here doing miraculous and wonderful things, and he's thinking maybe, hey, listen, at this point, maybe Jezebel and Ahab, they're gonna get the right mind, and they're gonna turn it around. But they didn't do that. She said, I'm gonna kill you. By this time tomorrow, you're gonna be dead. And so her message got into his head, and that message began to permeate his heart, and he became afraid. That's how the enemy works, y'all. If he can get that message of fear into your head, eventually it will affect your heart. And you'll find yourself in a place distracted from what God wants for your life. What messages are you receiving right now? What has the enemy spoken to you and said, you're not good enough? You can't do that. You're nobody. What messages are you receiving in your head this morning? 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out for the devil. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. That he practices psychological warfare. Yes. I don't know if anybody ever heard a lion's roar. You know, I remember growing up at the Memphis Zoo and going into the cat house, the lion house, and standing in front of that big cage and looking at the lion with that mane on it, and brr. Yeah, it seemed like that roar just kind of went through your body like sound waves. It's like that's like psychological warfare. When a lion roars, that his prey, that it shivers and it shakes and it's frozen. And that's how the enemy works, that he roars. But here's the good thing we need to know, that this lion is also a liar, and he's already a defeated foe. He's already defeated, y'all. That fear is one huge tactic that the enemy uses against us. But remember, too, distractions can come in other forms, not just fear. Again, rejection and isolation. And sometimes some of the greatest distractions in our lives, y'all, is stuff that we like and love. Come on. Come on. Come on. Sometimes it's the stuff that our flesh desires and wants. Sometimes it's the stuff that our head and our hearts want, that we want success and we want somebody to tout our name and we want titles. And so you have to watch out for distractions. Distractions can come in muscles and all of that, and 6 feet two, and distraction coming like a devil in a blue dress. Watch out for the distractions. God wants you and me to have victory in our lives over defeat. And sometimes, again, when it comes to distractions, it's those subtle things that we're not really watching after, but it takes our focus and our eyes off of God. Stay focused on God. Listen, know this. Mental preparation and clarity are crucial to a winning strategy. Oh, that was good. Mental preparation and clarity are crucial to a winning strategy. So we watch games on television, football game, basketball team, and one team is down by a number of points. That's the NFL. They're down by a couple of touchdowns or so. It's the fourth quarter. But you already know when a team is just about defeated. Because it's fourth quarter, they're down by a couple of touchdowns. They arguing with one another. They stumbling with the ball. They act like they're the frozen chosen. They won't get and play the ball. And you play the ball, and they act like they just scared. And you can almost bet they're gonna lose the game. But you can tell the team that's still in the fight. Their head is still in the game. The ball is snapping and they running and they moving and they shooking and they want to win the game. That's the kind of people God wants us to be. Listen, sometimes you may feel like, listen, you're a couple of touchdowns behind, that it looks like you're not winning the game, but God is on your side. And keep your mind, keep your head, keep it in the game. Don't get distracted by fear. Don't get distracted by the scoreboard. The scoreboard says you're losing. But God already said you already won. God already said you're more than a conqueror in Him. Keep your head in the game. And oftentimes, y'all, when it comes to a matter in our lives and how God wants to use us, we defeat our own selves. We talk ourselves out of some blessings. We talk ourselves out of being used by God, because we can't, because you don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. God knows all of that, and God still wants to use you and me. As a matter of fact, I just believe folk that have been through some changes, those are the people that God can use the most. If you would allow God to simply use you, and I would allow God to use me. Listen, perhaps we're not going to be an Elijah. We're not going to speak and shut up heaven. But maybe God wants to use you just to speak to the person next to you, to speak life, to speak hope, to speak encouragement. But how can you do that if you're distracted? There's something that scares you out of being a blessing to somebody else. Something that distracted you. Don't let that happen in your life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. God's game plan involves investing in and protecting your thought life. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are pure, think about these things. Protect your thought life. And don't let the devil get in your head. So first thing again, don't let your head hold you hostage. Second thing we can learn from Elijah is this. Know that God will sustain you in distress. God will keep you, y'all, under pressure. I declare He will. God will keep you under pressure. When the pressure is on and you're feeling anxiety, God will keep you. That's what He did for Elijah. Look at verses 5 through 9. This is Elijah. He lay down and slept under the broom tree, but he was sleeping. An angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat, man." I threw the word man in there. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him strength, y'all, to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And the text makes it clear that he was pretty much out of the game. He ran away in a solitary place. Talks about a broom tree. There's a tree that grew in the desert, about 10 feet tall, had small leaves on it. And so a solitary tree and a solitary prophet, hey, makes a good pair. But he's tired and he's weary. He's emotionally and spiritually drained. And what he's really saying is, look, I'm just going to lay down right here and I'm going to die. We may not use those words, but sometimes we can feel that way. I'm just going to stay right here. I'm not doing anything else. I've worked too hard on this relationship, and I'm just going to lay down and let it die. I've tried to give my best input on this job, but folk don't want to listen to me, so I'll shut my mouth, I'll be quiet, and I'll just do my job, and I'll hold my head down. That I came to church, and somebody said the wrong thing to me. And because they said the wrong thing to me, I give up. I'm throwing in the towel. I ain't singing no more. I ain't ushering no more. You know, as a matter of fact, listen, I'll just watch from the TV. How many of us have decided in our lives right now, knowingly or unknowingly, all we gonna do is sit down, lay down, and just die? But what's interesting in the text is it's obvious that God is present with Elijah. That an angel touched him and told him to get up, man, eat and drink. And out of nowhere comes food and water. Anybody ever had an out of nowhere blessing? Yes. I mean, it just came from out of nowhere. God just miraculously provided for you. God miraculously provided for Elijah. What did Elijah do after he ate and drank? Elijah turned right back around and he laid down again. This shows you just how dejected and sad this prophet was. But the angel said, get up again, man. Get you more to eat and to drink because the journey ahead is going to be long. Well, the angel was saying, you're not staying here. You got to get up from here and you got to get moving. You got to be about God's business. The food sustained him, y'all, for 40 days and nights. Now, I know some Bible readers in here, you looked at that and you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, 40 days and 40 nights. That comes up a lot in the Bible, that number 40. It comes up a lot in the Bible. Yeah. That Noah was shut up in the ark as it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and the rain stopped. That Moses was 40 days on the mountain of God. That Israel was 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. To me, that says something. That it's not there just to be there. That the readers at the time would have drawn something from this number 40. But in every one of these numbers of 40s, whether it was 40 days and 40 nights or 40 years, the point is God was with them. He was with Israel in the wilderness, Moses on the backside of a mountain. He was with Noah when he was in the ark. That God's divine presence had not left him. God's divine presence had not left Elijah. As long as it takes, God will sustain you and keep you. Is God using this period of time in your life? It may not be 40 days or 40 nights. But it seems like it's a long time. It's an extended period of time. But maybe God is trying to speak to you right now. That God is trying to teach you a crucial lesson. That God is trying to help you get rid of a negative practice or adopt a new way of seeing him and how God can operate in your life and my life. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 56. At what time I'm afraid, God, I'm going to trust you. And I believe that's what God was trying to show Elijah in part. Elijah, you're scared. You heard her message, Jezebel's message. But listen, stop running, man. I've got something for you to do. You're distracted right now. And though you may be afraid, all I need you to do is to trust me. Yeah. That God had his grip on Elijah. And God has his grip on us. Don't you know no one can snatch you out of God's hands? no foe, no enemy, no thing can snatch you out of God's powerful hands. His hands are strong and his love is perfect for you and perfect to you and me. And we can cast all of our cares upon him, all of our fears upon him, all of our anxiety upon him, all of our worries upon him, so we're not distracted from what God has for our lives. So condition your mind to be able to receive what God wants in fearful times, in stressful times, in times of anxiety, that you're not distracted from the divine purpose of God Almighty. Remember when COVID hit? All of us still remember that. And just a pastor being transparent, y'all know it was rough. I'm sitting up in here, I'm saying this, lights are dim, Lori Sport, they back there, Jackie, Joyce, a couple other people here, that was it. And I'm saying, Lord, are we going to make it? Tithes going to come in? This is all, that's what the preacher's talking about, money. Look at him. We going to be able to pay the light bill? And how many people, folk dying all over the world, how many people we going to lose up in here, God? God, how many funerals am I going to have to do? I'm being selfish now. No, how many funerals am I going to have to do? I'm just being transparent and real. Because preachers are human beings too. And there are times in life where things can scare us. There are things that happen, tragedy that happen, that move us and that scare us and they frighten us. And y'all, so I'm scared, but this is one thing God taught me in COVID. He says, at what time you're afraid, Kevin? You can trust me. I'm still with you. I'm still with the people of Living Faith Community Church. I promise I wouldn't leave you nor forsake you. Know that God will sustain you in your distress. What are you dealing with right now? What anxiety are you feeling? Don't be distracted from the will and the purpose of God. Trust God in your situation. This last thing, and I'm through. When distraction comes, God will give you traction. God will give you the wherewithal. God will help you to put you back on the path of his purpose. Verses 10 through 14. Let me just read some of those real quick just to give us context. Start at verse 10. Elijah replied. Now, God talked to him and said, what you doing here, Elijah? He said, Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people. But the people. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Look at what God says. Elijah, go out and stand before me on the mountain. The Lord told him, and Elijah stood there. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went outside and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Replies with the same reply. God, I've been zealous for you. I know you're Almighty God, but the people have broken their covenant with you and torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets, and I'm all by myself, God. Ain't nobody else but me. Ain't nobody else but me. And they trying to kill me too. Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, I want you to anoint some other prophets. When distraction comes, God will give you traction to put you back on his path of purpose. This distracted, fearful Elijah responds to God's questions. God's question, what you doing here? He said, I'm just hanging out here at Mount Sinai. That's significant in the text, too, because Sinai is a place of divine revelation. It's the place where Moses meets with God and talks to God on behalf of the people of Israel. It's a place of divine revelation where Moses gets the commandments from God and he gives it to God's people. So in one sense, I would think, what better place to go? What place, better place to be in the presence of God, to be near to God? But here was Elijah's problem. He was so distracted. His head was no longer in the game. He was out of the game. Elijah wasn't going nowhere else. As far as Elijah was concerned, that was his final resting place. Right there at Mount Sinai, this place of divine revelation. He wasn't getting up again. I'm through, God. He tells God, I've been zealous for you, God. I've been working for you, God. But the people, they're not listening. I've been doing all these miracles. I've been telling the people about you. But they're not changing. God, I thought when I killed all of Jezebel's prophets, maybe she would say, ooh, this man truly is a man of God. And maybe she'll give up and she'll give in and they'll repent and they'll come. But that's not what they did. She said, I'm going to kill you. I don't think it's so much that he was so much afraid of Jezebel, but just dejected that he did his best, that he did all he could, but the people still weren't turning to God. He thought he was the only true prophet. When Elijah felt as if his efforts weren't working, God revealed to him that God was working. Listen, when it feels like our best efforts aren't working, God is working. May not look like it. You're praying and you're asking God for change. Listen, you're giving God your all. You're serving God, but nothing is changing around you. Keep on praising. Keep on praying. Keep on serving. When it looks like nothing is changing, nothing is working, God is at work in your life and my life. So God reveals himself to Elijah, but not in the spectacular way. That Elijah was used to the spectacular and the great and the grand. I mean, he was the man of God. He was the stuff. But there's this great wind, but God is not in the wind. There's this earthquake and this fire, but God is not there. God is just in a gentle whisper. Listen, maybe God is asking us the same question. Why are you where you are? And we're looking for God to do the miraculous, the great, to shake things up, to move in a mighty, in a big way. But maybe God just wants to whisper his word into your heart. That God doesn't always operate in the big and the grand and the spectacular. And, you know, we want the huge revival where people are slain in the spirit and all of this and that happens. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people being moved by God. But I believe this. Oftentimes when God speaks to you, it's in that still, small voice where God whispers his word to your heart and to my heart. And he speaks to us to tell us what it is he would want us to do. Again, Elijah, y'all, he ain't got it yet. God, Elijah still gives the same response. God, I've been zealous. I've been trying to do your will. And it's God says, please, man, get up from where you're going. There's some more folk out there I want you to anoint as prophets. And out of all of those prophets, there will come one by the name of Elisha. And Elisha will take your place as my prophet. And you keep on reading. But this is what he did, y'all. That Elijah had enough faith to listen to God. If you're distracted today and you're off the beaten path, God wants you to put you back on the beaten path, on his path and on his purpose. But you got to have enough faith in God to trust him, to trust his word. And whatever God speaks to you, do this. Follow through. Whatever God says to you, simply follow through on what God is saying to you and to me. And he does it. You keep on reading, and God says to him, listen, please, too, I got 7,000 prophets that won't bow to Baal. Yeah. And if you read the history of Israel, God used these mighty men and mighty men and women of God to do away with idolatry amongst the Israelites. And God wants to use you and me in the world today because people need him. People are walking in darkness. But how can we do a thing if we're distracted by what's going on around us? That God uses this Elijah to bring about an Elisha. And the Bible lets you know that Elijah took his cloak. He took his covering. And when he saw Elisha, he took his covering off. He took his coat off, his mantle, and he placed it upon Elisha. Listen, if we're distracted, if he stayed distracted, if he stayed in that place where his head was not in the game, how would Elisha have ever been anointed? How would he become the next major prophet of God? I look at my brother. I know we got to move on, y'all. Reverend Brown and his wife, Janice. And I think about the Elijah-Elisha thing. That Bubby's in his lap. He's asleep right now. He loves church. He loves the Lord. He loves Jesus. And I'm looking at him right now, and he had his grandpa's coat over him. That symbolically, they teach him the ways of God. It's as if they take off their cloak and they cover Bubby. They cover Grace, and so that when he gets older, he'll follow God. I just need to share this with us. How many of us are willing to do that with our children and those that are around us? That we take off our cloak and we place it upon someone else that they can keep on following God and keep on serving God. But we cannot do that if we're distracted. If my job is too important. If getting up Sunday morning and coming is too important. If having success and money, if extracurricular activity, they're just too important. Then we fail to take off the cloak and cover those that are coming up behind us. I just threw that in for all it's worth. I threw it in for free, y'all. But God started a good work in you. And God wants to complete it against that day. And that day is the day of Christ Jesus. So keep your head in the game. People in the sports world understand that. People in the military understand that. If you're in warfare, listen, we're in warfare. You got to keep your head in the game. Yeah. The enemy is a slick rascal. And you got to stay focused. Don't get distracted. Keep your head in the game. It's about done. So Jackie and I, we had the privilege of seeing last Monday, we went to a concert in Austin. Y'all, we saw Gladys Knight. Now, there may be some young folk in there asking now. I asked a young man the other day, he was like 20 years old, have you heard of Gladys Knight? He said, no. I said, Lord, I'm old. Gladys Knight and Patti LaBelle, y'all. Patti? Yeah. And Gladys, I hadn't seen her in 20 years. We saw her last in Vegas about 20 years ago, Jackie's birthday. Gladys was slower. She moved like she used to. But her voice was still golden. She sang from her heart, and she was gracious. Sung a lot of songs, too. 79 years old, just about hit 80. Yeah, she's still in the game. She's still doing her thing. A couple of songs, she didn't remember all the words, and so you could tell she was forgetting the words, so she got one of her backup singers to put the mic in, like, your girl sing the song. And after that, Gladys took us to church. Is this you saying to us, the crowd that they listen? Yeah, I'm 79 years old, and maybe I don't remember it all, but one thing I remember, God's been good to me. Yeah. And she began to talk about God and began to talk about Jesus. And then we went to church, y'all. She started singing some church songs, y'all. All they needed to do was just hit the Hammond B3, and y'all, church, it would have been over with. And so I got home, and this is the truth. I started Googling Gladys because I said, Gladys is getting kind of up there. She's getting up there in age, and I wonder if she's going to retire soon. I read an article. This is what Gladys said. As long as God gives me strength and I'm able to stand before these people and do what God called me to do and gifted me to do, listen, I'm going to do it. Gladys was saying, I'm going to stay in the game as long as I can. I want to encourage somebody in here today. Listen, I don't know about you, but can I tell you about me? As long as I'm able to stand before God's people, as long as I'm able to serve God's people in some capacity, I'm staying in the game. I refuse to allow fear or anxiety or pain to stop me from being in God's game. People may reject me, abandon me, walk out on me, but I'm staying in the game. Got anybody else in the house like that? I'm staying in the game, y'all. Can you say that? I'm staying in the game. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. Come what will, come what may, I'm staying in the game. I refuse to allow fear to stop me from serving God. Anxiety or pain or isolation or rejection, it will not stop me from serving God. I'm staying in the game. Keep your head. Keep your head. Keep your head. Keep your head in the game. Amen. Father, thank you for this word today. In times that we're living in, so many people are giving up and throwing in the towel. They're quitting, God, because life gets rough. That the struggle is real. But God, you're greater than any of our struggles, any of our pain. You're greater than our fears and our anxiety and our feelings of isolation and rejection and being let down and left alone. You promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. So I pray, oh God, that your people receive this word today to keep our heads in the game, to stay focused on you, to concentrate on you, to know that your word is true. You promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we're determined to keep our heads, keep our minds, keep our hearts in the game. But to be in the game, we realize it starts with a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. You sent your son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. God, we can all admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. But God, in this prayer of salvation, we repent. We turn from our sins. And we turn to Jesus. We confess that Jesus is Lord. That he is Savior. We confess with our mouths and believe in our heart on Jesus. And your word says that saves us. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to a heart. Speak to a mind that if they're not in the game, and it's not a game, because life is not a game, and salvation is not a game, it's real. A relationship with you is real. That they would hear your voice in this moment, and that they would come. Draw them, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.